Welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic, and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Neil, Zeph, and Neil, who will be sharing their experience, strength, and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with a serenity prayer?
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So I would like to introduce our first speaker today, who is Neil. Would you like to share with us?
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an alcoholic. I finished my step 9 this week, and my sponsor promised me that I would have freedom. And when he told this to me about a year and a half ago, when I first got sober this time around, I didn't believe him. It sounded like a platitude. It sounded like a hollow promise. I returned back to New Zealand about a year and a half ago after 15 years away, and the way I describe it is that I wrapped barbed wire around a bulldozer and then drove it through my life. I've lost everything. Wife, jobs, money, respect, dignity, health. And I found my rock bottom, another one, which turns out was lower than the last several before it. And so I had the gift of desperation, and I came into the rooms again. So I'd been in and out for a couple of years before. And this time, I just listened. And I was told to look for the similarities and not the differences. I was told that this is a simple program, not easy. And that I had a few things that I had to do. I had to go to lots of meetings. I had to ask someone to be my sponsor. I had 6 things to do every day. To pray to God for a sober day and for humility. I had to read the big book for like 5 minutes. Write a gratitude list. I read the Just for Today card. Call a couple of newcomers. And at the end of the day, thank God for a sober day. And if I did these things, and I listened to my sponsor, which was simple, not always easy, I had a chance at a second life. And I didn't believe it, didn't make any sense, sounds completely illogical, do things that take about 20 minutes. I did the maths, right? Go to meetings, doing those 6 things, takes maybe 1 out of 7 days a week. I used to spend a lot more time than that focused on my addiction. And so I thought, mathematically, spending 1 day a week trying to stay safe and alive made sense. So by the grace of God, or some spaghetti monster in the sky, I stuck to it with his grace. And like I said, today I finished step 9, and it's baffling to me that today it's true. I do feel different. I have cleared away much of the wreckage, not all, but much of the wreckage of the past. I am slowly but surely releasing the shame and the guilt and the agony that I used as an excuse, or my addiction used as an excuse to force me back down the bottle. And I know now that it's so simple, not easy, but simple. Get a sponsor, do the six things, listen to what the sponsor says, which includes going to meetings. And I have, honestly, I have a second life, one that I'd never imagined. And all of the promises of the book are coming true for me. I have more money than I've ever had. Relationships are healed, some destroyed, but nonetheless patched up moving forward. I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky, and it's only because of this program and by the grace of something much greater than me, don't know what it's called, doesn't matter, that I have all these things now. And so, you know, I know now what my purpose in life is to seek humility, deflate my ego, and because of my experiences, I have now this opportunity to help other people. And that is about a million times more satisfying than any party or drink or girl or money or experience that I ever had, is the opportunity to potentially save someone else's life. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. I'll leave it there.
Lovely. Thank you, Neil. And now I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Zeev. Zeev, please share with us.
Okay. Hello, everyone listening out there. My name is Zeev, and I'm an alcoholic addict. And this is my story today. First, I'd like to say I'm recovered today, thanks to the maintenance of a daily program and looking to live the steps in my life. And, it's been a great life. I'm 54 years old now, and I'm currently almost 9 months completely sober and clean, which is a world record for me personally. I came into AA about 14 years ago when I was 40, when I recognized that I had a real drinking problem. And when I reflect on my life, I kind of started off loving sweets as a kid. That was my addiction to start with. And then it was petty theft. And then I had, even though I had loving family, I used to be mischief, especially when my parents broke up. I found that quite upsetting when I was 9 or 10. I think most kids want their parents to stay together. And I loved them both, but lived with mum for many years, and sort of took me a long time to accept and love myself as a man. And I do today have a great relationship with both my parents, thankfully. And I had a good education, loving family, loving grandparents, thank God for that. And but I did get into drugs. For me, it was an adventure, you know, and I started off with weed and then drinking. Mum let me home brew beer when I was 15 at home. She figured it was better at home than somewhere out there, and went on drinking. Then I explored with all kinds of party drugs, you know, in my life, which some was a discovery and learning, and a lot of it. In the end, what I found was it was no longer seeking new things. It was an addiction, and it became like a chain around my neck. And although I did travel the world and have lots of relationships, something always felt missing. I had a sort of a hole in my soul, you could say, and it would never quite be satisfied, you know. And I ended up having a really good relationship with, after many sort of traumatic ones, I ended up with a woman, a really great woman, a yoga teacher for 19 years, and I thank God for her coming into my life. She helped me clear up all my trouble with IRD and kind of be truly loved, which I found challenging. I found it hard to love myself fully, let alone someone else coming in with that. And so I did yoga with her for years, and then finally with her encouragement. I think I had a terrible day at work where I'd been drinking again. I was a builder for years and going to the bottle, you know, and I had a lot of responsibility running jobs, and the more responsibility I had, the more I'd drink. And then one day I was like, please God help me, if you're up there somewhere, what can I do? And then shortly afterwards it occurred to me to look it up, and there was an AA meeting just down the road from me. And so I ended up, oh cool, so that was like a sign or a gift, you know. So I went up to the local meeting in Clevedon and had my first taste of AA, and realised I was not alone in this self-imposed prison I had myself in, that it's a common thing and that there is actually a solution. And that was the start of something, you know. I quickly got a sponsor, and although it still felt a bit alien to me, who are these people and do I fit in, I had a lot of help and a lot of unconditional love from this guy, and that started for me the journey, because it wasn't just alcohol for me, it was lots of things. I had a real love for marijuana and party drugs like MDMA and cocaine, and so it took me a while to get my head around I could actually live clean and sober and be alright. That took me a lot of processing. So by continuing going to AA every week for many, many years and trialing my own ways of doing it, trying to do the steps on my own, trying to hang on to things. Like, I got a year and a half sober at one point, but I was still on the California diet, they call it, which was still puffing on the weed. And my sponsor at the time was like, hey, you know, you're not actually fully sober. And I was like, oh, bugger, yeah. I didn't like that at all. And it sort of was a thorn in my side, but I sort of accepted what he said, but at the same time it made me retaliate and then go back to drinking, essentially, with some resentments at the time. That was sort of a bit of a wake-up call for me too, that, okay, maybe this time I'm going to do it different. And the way I like to look at it is that everything I've been through and all the experiences and the efforts I've made all are valuable steps along the journey, and every time I've relapsed, I've learned something, and that's the treasure. That's the way I look at it today, which really empowers me a lot. And I think every time I see someone else go through it, whether it's a relapse or their success, there's something I can learn from that. You know, what could I learn from that, or how can I take strength from their achievement? You know, because I'd like to think that my final getting it now at, you know, where I'm at today would inspire someone else, I hope, because there were many times I felt alone and isolated and that I couldn't do this thing, you know, and somehow I needed that drink or that drug to be okay. And it was like my medicine for many years, you know. And in the end, I actually got to a point of doing AA for quite a while that my relationship broke up. Maybe we grew apart, but also the alcohol was really the final nail in it. And then I was like, after moving out, I thought, now I'll give it up. But then, of course, still struggled with that. And finally thought, right, I'm going to do something bigger. And people in my group had gone to this rehab, the retreat out in Warkworth. And so I signed up for that with my mother's backing, $20,000, believe it or not, for a month. I thought that was going to be the magic, the silver bullet, if you will. Which, of course, nothing really is. It comes from in our heart and a true desire, you know. But it did give me a whole lot of learning and inspiration, and I got 2 months up at that point, and I went back to life and got a job teaching, changing from building, which I really needed a change. And yeah, I learnt a lot, and I did go through a lot of good experiences there. But then a resentment got me again, and I picked up when my flatmate got upset with me, and I hid it from everyone. The old hiding it really didn't help, and it took a few months of that lesson to finally go, right, I've got to go and do this fully. And I committed to a bunch of rehabs. I've done 5 now. I quit my job, put my stuff in storage. I went and did Wings Trust in town. Then I did Higher Ground. Then I went and did Grace Gate in the North Shore. And then I came back to Bless Them, Epsom Lodge, Salvation Army. And Epsom Lodge is where I kind of hit my bottom. I realized it was going to be up to me or no one else to make this thing work. I had to go to my higher power, the greater loving power, as I call it, Aroha Nui, whatever you want to call it, Tihe Māori Ora. I love that, the idea of a spirit in all of us. And I just got serious about it, committed myself, and that was the last time I drank. And now, all drugged, you know, I just don't even have a temptation these days. When I think about it, it's just kind of yucky to me, and I'm just so grateful for every day sober. And these days, I got a really good sponsor who put me through all the steps, so I did that, and I'm still living amends today. You know, it's not just saying amends to someone, it's living them. And my mother is so happy now, she's not stressed out like she used to be. And I do a daily program which involves meditation and some intention prayer in the morning, talking to others in the groups, going to meetings, talking to my sponsor regularly, bouncing off him, and every night I do a reflection on the day and what am I grateful for, what could I have done better, and what's my intention for the next day. And one of them is giving back. How can I be of use in this world? How can I live in the solution? How can I see opportunities in my challenges, you know? So yeah, I'm really grateful to be here today, and I hope you got something out of it. Much love to you all.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Seth. And now we have our last speaker, Neil. Would you like to share with us, Neil?
Maureen, my name's Neil, alcoholic. My story begins, I was born in Taupo, my father was an alcoholic, and he beat my mother for the last time, and my mother left him when I was 7, 8 years old. And we moved to Whangataa, and I grew up in a bit of a dysfunctional environment because of I came home from school one day, and my mother says, meet your new father. So I didn't like anyway. As I grew up with my stepfather and had the memories of my father, I grew up pretty angry sort of guy, a lot of resentments already by the time I was at high school. I ended up fighting a lot and getting into a lot of trouble, and I was quite dysfunctional, and I just didn't know why, and that was the biggest thing for me. I didn't know why. At 20, I'll go jump ahead to 20, I was sent to Wolf Home and diagnosed with an alcoholic addict at the time, and my first exposure was to the AA program and everything, and I just thought I couldn't be one of those because I was too young and I was just a good beer drinker, you know, so I didn't finish the program. And I ended up from there, though, I ended up with a sponsor who actually came there and told me what a sponsor was, and he said he was going to be my sponsor, and my partner at the time had heard him on a radio show. Ironically, you know, he'd been on this radio show, and he left his number to anyone who had a partner or someone they knew who needed help. So she kindly gave him my dream where I was, and he came along. His name was Bob. Anyway, he lasted from that date, from 20 to 30. I struggled in my recovery. I tried to beat my addiction. I tried to live in my addiction. I tried to minimize it, you know, all the usual things of addictive behavior. And but he stuck with me that whole 10 years, you know, and it wasn't until 10 years later down the track after stints in Mount Eden, because I used to fight, unfortunately, and 10 years later I really assessed my life and looked at what I was doing and why I was doing it, and that's what I listened to Bob, and I listened to the men at the AA meetings, and they actually gave me hope, my first lot of hope. Well, you know, I was sort of already accepted what I was. The first step, it says we're powerless over alcohol. What I wasn't powerless over was my choice, and that's when I decided, you know, my choice is not to live in this carnage and this nightmare that I was in. So I asked Bob, I said, you know, like, what can I do now? And I went to Hamner Springs, came out, and Dr. Crawford there said, what lengths are you willing to go to? And I said, I'll go to every length now. I own my head, I said that. I'll go to any lengths. So when I came back, I was teachable. That's the main thing for me. I was teachable, and I'd listen, and I'd do as I was told. Three things that were not high on my list prior to this. So when that happened, I started to get a grasp of what it was like in recovery, and because I saw the men before me, their experience, strength and hope, and I saw what my sponsor had, and I did want that, and as they say, if you want what we have, you have to do what we do, basically. And so I wanted that, and so I started doing that. I started my road to recovery, and it's been that way ever since. And it freed me from my addiction prison. I felt like I was in addiction prison and a prisoner of my past. And every time I went back to my past, every time I relived it, I went back out drinking and drugging over those 10 years, you know. And he used to say to me, there's a saying going that they had then, never be a victim of your past. It was only a lesson, not a life sentence. And that hit me right between the eyes, you know. And so I grasped hold of that, and I went on, and I did what I was told. I went to the meetings. I did what the basics said, you know. And I hung around the guys who had experience, strength, and hope. Because I characterized my drinking, drugging days as the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I wanted to get to the experience, strength, and hope. And for me, AA has been the bridge, the transformational bridge, going from that one, from the good, the bad, and the ugly, to experience, strength, and hope. It's transformed me because, you know, when I came to AA, I saw people change, and I wanted that for the better. And I call it the transformation bridge. And to this day, I still have that, and I still practice that. And I've never been unteachable. I've never been unable to not own what was mine, and to this day I continue that journey by doing what was given to me all those years ago. Those men gave me hope, the steps gave me hope, and it's given me a recipe for a future that I never believed I could have. My sister used to say to me, called me the black sheep of the family, and then I was about 6 years, 8 years clean, and she said to me, because she's a farming girl, and she's still on the farm that we have, and she said to me, said, Mickey, she said, you used to be the black sheep of the family. She says, but now you're the white sheep with black spots, you know. And I thought that was a beautiful saying. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you've changed. You're the brother I've always wanted to look up to. She said, you know, and mum's always wanted the son, you know, you're the son that she was always wanted. Because what AA did for me and those 12 steps along that transformation was it changed me from the inside. You know, it changed my character, my behaviour, my thought patterns. I was 30 going on 13 when I came in here, and I mean it. I was 13, immature, emotional wreck, you know. I didn't understand myself. And a lot of people talk about God, and I didn't come here to find God. I come here to find myself. But God became the cornerstone. My God became the cornerstone of my AA recovery, and I put it that way. And as I say, it's given me that hope. And I continue to do that because I surround myself with people who have got that experience, strength, and hope. I still need to be seen that the program works. I still do need to be seen that, you know, no matter how low down the ladder you feel you are, no matter how bad your behavior or your past experiences are, the good, the bad, and ugly, as I call them, no matter how far, this program will, if you embrace it, will change you, transform you for the rest of your life, and give you a life you cannot imagine, I presume, because I know I can't tell you enough the transformation that it's brought to me. But not on the outside so much, it's what's inside me. You know, it's the person I have become, and that's what I think that I love about the program. It changes you from the inside out. You know, and I continue to do that. I continue to do why do I come to meetings still after 41 years? Because I know it works and it's a part of my life. You know, like I have a saying that AA isn't everything to me. It's the only thing, because I know I'm one drink away from a drunk. I know I can be back out there tomorrow. One thing can upset me. Something can rock my boat and I can inadvertently be there in a New York minute, as they say. Anyway, I'll end there if that's okay. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you much, thank you, Neil, for sharing with us. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Neil, and Zeph, and Neil, and for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. And finally, could you please join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me
the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Your language, your interests, your community on planetaudio.org.nz. Business. Boating. Belly dancing. Whatever you're interested in learning, community education is alive and well at a school near you. Gain skills. Find a hobby. Learn a language. Get fit. Learn to relax. Visit aucklandcommunityeducation.co.nz to find courses in your neighbourhood. Cooking. Computing. Cantonese.
Comedy Matters. Proudly brought to you by Barfoot and Thompson.
Join me, Stephen Dello, every Monday at 4:15 as we chat all things property, investment and leadership. Hear from the experts aimed at landlords, tenants and business leaders and get inspired on your own investment or career journey. Property Matters, Mondays at 4:15 here on Planet FM or download from your favourite podcast site.
Property Matters.
PlanetAudio.org.nz, your platform for community connection, from podcasts to radio shows. We give you Auckland and worldwide access to create shows that connect you with your community. With brand new studios and expert support, we make it easy for you to create meaningful professional broadcasts. Share your culture, tell your story, or spark conversation. Your voice matters. 104.6 Planet FM.
This is 104.6 Planet FM. Join AA Meeting on Air next Sunday morning at 10:45. And if you'd like to listen to this program again, go to our website, planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air. All one word.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet, and the morals that they worship will be gone. The men that spurred us on sit in judgment of all wrong. They decide and the shotgun sings a song. I'll tip my hat to the new constitution, take a bow for a new revolution. Smile and grin at the change all around. Pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees and pray. Don't get fooled again. Change it had to come. We knew it all along. We were liberated from the fold. That's all. And history ain't changed, cause the banners they all flown in the last war. I tip my hat to the new constitution, take a bow for a new revolution. Smile and grin at the change all around. Pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday. Don't get fooled again.